according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, who comes to us. May you reveal your glory to us today. Amen. One morning, this past week, my daughter Maeve and I got into the car to take her to school, and she asked me to put on one of her favorite playlists of musical artist Luli Pompeen. I opened Spotify, and I handed her my phone to locate this playlist as I began to drive. Rather than finding Luli Pompeen, she found the Spanish Christmas song playlist. With a squeal of delight, she informed me, "Mommy, it works!" You see, Maeve loves Christmas so much, she would listen to it all year long. So David and I had explained to Maeve that Christmas playlists only work at Christmas time. That's my confession to you this morning. She quickly scrolled to find one of her favorite songs, and soon I heard animated singing from the back seat. "Abba Len May Boy, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum." Over and over and over the whole way to school, which is why Christmas channels don't work past mid-January. The chorus of the song repeats over and over, "To Bethlehem I am going." And it's a story about one who encounters a little shepherd on their way to Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of Jesus. The singer of this song joins in the party, and upon realizing they don't have a gift to bring Jesus, they will sing this song that they have practiced over and over. Rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. It's similar to the little drummer boy storyline in English, but musically it's very different, with a marimba-type beat where you can envision them dancing in a Congo line on their way to Bethlehem. And so here I was, this week, delving into the scripture we heard today and singing in my head over and over, Abba Len Me Boy, to Bethlehem I am going. But we end the season of Epiphany. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and the season of Lent begins. It seems like it was not that long ago that we were headed with that little shepherd to Bethlehem, but now is the time for Jesus to begin heading to Jerusalem. Soon to Jerusalem we will be going, and the playlist on the way will be anything but celebratory until we arrive at Easter. Our scripture passage, situated between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, gives us this liminal space to fall into while we reflect and notice and consider. This transfiguration passage is often referred to as a moment when Jesus and three of his disciples were having a mountaintop experience together. Before they went up the mountain, Jesus and his disciples were talking about who the crowds think Jesus is. Some think Jesus is Elijah. Others think Jesus might be John the Baptist. Still others think Jesus is a new prophet who has come in their time. And then Jesus asked the disciples, "And you all, who do you all say that I am?" To which Peter replies, "The Messiah of God." Jesus then tries to teach them what being the Messiah means, which will include suffering and rejection and death and resurrection. But they really don't understand what he's talking about. And then a week later, Jesus takes Peter and John and James up this mountain for the purpose of praying. Mountains were thought to be places that would bring you closer to the divine, with prayer being a means to encounter and to connect with God in order to gain divine insight. As Jesus was praying, he was connecting with God. He experienced and revealed a change in himself. The appearance of his face became different, and his clothes began to shine. Moses and Elijah appeared, and we hear they're talking to Jesus about his departure, but in Greek this word is his exodus to Jerusalem. The disciples see the glory of Jesus, and they sense it is very good. In fact, Peter's immediate knee-jerk response is to suggest they should set up dwelling spaces for Jesus and Moses and Elijah in order to remain there on that mountaintop immersed in the glory of the Lord. And then this cloud of divine presence surrounds them, and a voice speaks, "This is my son, the one whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Can you imagine being in that space at that time? No wonder the disciples were terrified, confused, and fearful to speak to anyone about it, at least initially. This story is a bit apocalyptic, quite fantastical, and heavily laden with human emotions. The exodus to Jerusalem that was pointed to connects this story with the exodus story. Jesus, the one, the departure from Egypt of the Israelites, hoping for freedom from oppression. But in this exodus story, Jesus is the one who is exiting, journeying toward the cross, toward suffering, death, and resurrection, in order to bring the world freedom from sin and death. On the mountaintop, the disciples are confused, befuddled, not understanding the glory of Jesus. The glory they had witnessed on that mountain does not juxtapose well with a suffering servant, one who will be humiliated and shamed by death on a cross. Sometimes mountaintop experiences can bring confusion and even fear as we try to discern what they mean. I remember the first time I hiked up the mountain to Hogar Miguel Magone Orphanage in Guatemala. Upon completing the adoption of my first son from Guatemala, our adoption agency had asked me to be their humanitarian aid coordinator for that particular orphanage. And as I visited them that first time, I was surprised by how they were nestled on the side of a steep mountain with buildings set at a variety of levels, and you would get to them by following these winding paths. At that time, the orphanage was home to about 55 boys who were mostly between 6 and 16 years old. I arrived at that mountaintop orphanage with some of their most urgent needs, with kitchen supplies and pajamas and blankets. And as we unloaded the bags, the children came to watch and to help. I noticed a particular boy who was about 12 years old who kept a bit of a distance, watching me closely, his eyes intense and curious. And by the time my visit ended, he had been following me around from place to place. Each time I returned to Guatemala, we spent a little more time together, and I saw how he and his brother were cared for by the directors of the orphanage who sacrificed worldly glory to serve these children. I saw the love and dedication of many of their caregivers and the boys' deep desire to be part of a family. And most of all, I saw God. I encountered God. I connected with God, and I was being changed by God. I don't know if I appeared different, but I sensed I was being called by God into some big life changes that required me to let go of who I thought I was meant to be in order to be open to the possibility of who God was calling me to be. To let go of worldly views of glory in order to embrace God's glory. Big life changes can be confusing, even scary, bringing more questions than answers. Jesus shows us in this passage and in many others that in these mountaintop moments, we're invited to connect with God through prayer. And as we open ourselves to encounter God, the more open we will be to the changes God is calling forth within us. This journey of encountering God again and again on that literal and figurative mountaintop in Guatemala transformed me, leading me to new places, including seminary, which is why I stand before you today, and new vocations, including the role of mother to that 12-year-old boy and his brother, who have taught me more about God and discipleship and sacrificial love than I had ever imagined possible. Encounter with God brings change. In our mountaintop story from Scripture today, Jesus encounters God. Now is the time for Jesus to begin his exodus to Jerusalem, which will change everything. The disciples may not be ready for it, but change is coming for them as well. God's glory will be redefined through Jesus. We traveled to Bethlehem to encounter the humble infant Christ. Now is the time to journey with Christ to Jerusalem. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we will gather in solemn prayer to pause and to reflect on our sins individually and communally. We will acknowledge our mortality with ashes. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These ashes are placed upon us using the symbol of the cross, reminding us that it is through the cross that we receive forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. I invite you to journey with me into the mountaintop experience of Lent. We will climb into Lent in prayer, expecting to encounter and connect with God. We'll gather together in a variety of ways to pray, to listen, to learn, and to sing in expectation of encountering God and in openness of what God is calling us to be and to do. What transformation is God bringing for you and for me and for our beloved community? May we begin our journey to Jerusalem with Jesus. May we encounter the living God on the way, and may we be forever changed. Let it be so. Amen.
Amen.